About March, rededicated my life to Christ. I dedicated my life to be a soul winner. I surrendered to be an evangelist or do whatever God wanted me to do. But more than anything else, that night, I was captured by what my purpose was. You know, when you get saved, you go into heaven. That's not a bad place to go to. But I was always struck with the thought, I always try to think through what's the end result to this stuff and what you're going into. What's the end game? What's the end result? Well, we're going to heaven, but we're not there yet. So in the meantime, what do you do in the meantime? Saved, going to heaven. What do I do in the meantime? What, I just do what everybody else does? No, that's not why God saved you, to do what you are doing and what everybody else does. He saved you to bear fruit. He that winneth souls is still wise. I put the still in there, but it's still good for today. He that winneth souls is wise. And I think the end result and the end game for the Lord Jesus is, I mean, we always quote Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's my life verse. That's fine. My working verse is Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. But Romans 8:29 says that his purpose for you is to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Well, if the Son of God were in San Antonio during Fiesta, you think he'd be winning souls? Well, he is in San Antonio during Fiesta, and he did win souls. That's what it's all about. If you're not doing that, what in the world are you doing? I'm sorry, I'm getting the evangelist thing going here, but I mean, really? If you're not doing that, what do you... Well, I'm watching TV, and I'm eating dinner, and I'm going to work, and I'm coming home, and I'm... Right, the heathen do that. But what's the difference in the heathen and a Christian? What's the difference in saved and not saved? What's the difference in bearing fruit and not bearing fruit? Well, one's obedient to the Lord, and one's not. It's very simple. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Oh, by the way, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So, really, it's just 44 years later, let me tell you something. 44 years later, it's just about going. You know, sometimes you don't feel good. Sometimes things don't work right. Sometimes the soul winning times don't fall into your schedule. Sometimes you're mad, sometimes you're glad, sometimes you have hair, sometimes you don't. I mean, there's all kinds of circumstances in life, right? Go. Nothing happened. Listen, all those testimonies, I was struck with just the same old thought. They went. They just put their ugly mugs out there. Okay? That's all soul winning boiled down to me finally after several years. I thought, you know, if I hadn't gone, I hadn't seen. I didn't go totally filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't go, you know, having done everything perfect that week. I didn't go, you know, I mean, do you always feel like coming to church when you come to church? Don't get your halo on tight, honestly. Do I always feel like coming up here and preaching or... You know, any preacher, I mean, are we totally exactly perfect when we enter the pulpit every single time? Are you kidding me? But you go. You obey anyway. What, you teach your children? You only need to obey your parents? You only need to obey me as your father when you feel like it? When everything's perfect? You come to the dinner table when mama calls, whether you want to or not, amen? On time, right? I told you once. I tell you twice because you disobeyed. I'm not supposed to tell you twice. I tell you once. Anything past that is disobedience when you didn't do it. And so God is so good to us. All these testimonies are right. Brother Block and different folks. I mean, it's so good. This was such a great time this year. And that's the way it always is. It always is. Special times. Special moments. Every single one. Is special in its own realm, its own time period. A lot of things go into something like this. This doesn't just happen. A lot of prayer. I didn't get here overnight. It was 44 years of going. I was looking at my Bible years ago. I was preaching youth conference at OBC and stuff, and I think I'd met Brother Block and stuff. But I remember Brother Block coming up to me the first time I preached at youth conference up at Windsor Hills, and I found one of these yellow things. You had come up to me and handed me this whole pack from the youth group in Liberty, and it was, I don't know who this is, Jerry Hauser. Brother Benel, thank you and your wife. God bless your work for the Lord. Just a note of appreciation. Thanks, a bundle. Liberty Baptist Church, Chris Block, Youth Director. And that's an old one that I saved in my Bible up there, that because that allows me to pray for people. Brother Block's one of the people I pray for consistently because he's a great man of God. He has consistently been faithful to his preacher, to his family, to his God, to his youth group, to his church, to soul winning, to keeping the standard high. And what a blessing. Thankful that all these years, Brother Garraway keeps coming back. He didn't have to come down here. He wants to come down here, you know. Now, he likes Mexican food. But we have a great time. We got to go out a little bit. We don't always get to go out because we're taking somebody else out all the time. But we got to be together a couple, three times this week and for a few moments. And that's real dangerous when you put the two of us together. Oh, we just, you know, anyway. Yeah, we had walked the parade route. You got to understand, we're old now. And so we were feeling it Friday night. So he gets in the car with me and the bus goes on down. We're going downtown. And it's like, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. He's doing drive-bys. So now you got to have a good driver. And I'm a really good driver and stuff. And then you got to have a guy with a New York accent and, you know, the stuff that, the schmaltz that he has, you know. So I'm going down all the way through downtown San Antonio. I mean, all the way to Alamo, back to that, and pulling over to the bus curb, you know, and all these people. And he's, hey, you, come over here, come over. Yeah, and they come, you know, come over, come on, hey, buddy. He goes, hey, buddy, come here. and they go, moi, you know. And they come over, and he's just, hey, this is about, you know, map of San Antonio, tell you about Jesus, you know, and everything. Just bold, you know, and they're coming over. Hey, and almost all of them said, God, thank you. God bless you. Yeah, well, God bless you. Yeah. And I come up to one. I turn in downtown with all that constructions going on down there, and I turn down a one-way street. And so I figure I'll get involved here. And so there's this one guy walking, nice-looking guy, so I pull over that curb because it's one-way and it's narrow and just one way to go. And so I roll down the window and give him one. He said, hey, you guys Christians? I said, yeah. You guys gave me one right down here last year. I've got it on my refrigerator. Really? That won't save you, by the way, but anyway. But he was like, yeah, hey, I think you use cheaper paper now. Oh, I'm just kidding you. You know, and I'm like, and by that time, the guy's going, honk, honk, you know, because I'm stopped in the middle of the street. So I roll on. We get to the market square. This is so wonderful. We're giving David a bad time on the corner because we're pulling up in air conditioning. He's out there, you know. we're talking about evangelism 201. You're still on 101, buddy. You're out here, you know. This is where the real thing is. Pull down to the corner past Market Square, and these people, this mass of people are walking down the street, and he goes, hey, and he's got like, I don't know, 10 or 15, I don't know how many were there, but he starts in, and then they all line up, so he's got them lined up, and it's like, yeah, me, and one, you know, and they're all lined up going by to get whatever he's giving out, you know, there, and it was a wonderful thing. We made the block a couple more times and, you know, came around and a bunch of booths there and stuff, so he finished out all of his tracks, and we're laughing, but we're enjoying it. It's joy, you know. It's like somebody said earlier today, you know, you can have fun. Oh, sales father. You can have fun being a Christian, and you should. It's a serious business, but it's joyful because some of those folks, listen, never discount the day of small things. You get the word of God out, and they might be drunk, they might be drugged, they might be partying, they might be, but there's a seriousness in their life when they go home. At some point in their life, they're serious about God. They need an answer. It's like that woman who was talking about the woman who said, and she walked away and said, I'm going to hell. What testimony was that? Was that David? Was that you? Oh, okay. So you're going to go to, you're and walked away. You never know. You never know. You think, oh my goodness, that person, if they die, they're going to go to hell. That's true. But you never know, just by a word, what that pricks in the heart of a person that starts that ball rolling to seek God. How many Gideon testimonies back in the early days, especially of the Gideon New Testaments and the Bibles being in hotel rooms, and start out with some of the great men and women of God later, but I've heard personally those testimonies. Where I was about to commit suicide, and I just kind of opened up the drawer, and there was that Gideon Bible, and I just kind of started flipping through it, and then I got on my knees, cried, prayed, and got saved, and didn't commit suicide, and went home to my family, and that's what it's all about. You never can tell, so isn't it good? And by the way, that silent partner, that just being that partner, that hook, and pulling them in, that's very important. My wife, we knocked on the door one time and talked to a lady that got saved, but my wife was it was necessary for her to have the attention of the woman, and later I went back to talk with the husband. But she's right in the middle of doing it there, and I'm there, and she has her attention. And the little boy came running in from the bedroom. Mommy, mommy, mommy! I want a milkshake. In one fell swoop, I picked that kid up and said, "I make the greatest milkshakes you have ever seen." And I grabbed him toward the kitchen. Now I'm going to her kitchen. The mother's going. I said, "No problem. I'll take care of everything." And she went back to that. I made him the greatest milkshake the kid's ever had in his life. Took a while. We put everything in that thing. That's what a silent partner does, and the mama got saved because everything was taken care of. That's what you do as a silent partner, and by the way, all of that is leading someone to Christ. Whatever stage you are, whether you hooked them or whether you closed the net, doesn't matter. It's all leading them to Christ. You're all involved in that. You're praying for soul winners, you're involved in that. You're giving to soul winning, you're involved in that. Be involved in soul winning in some way and do what God wants you to do. Quickly, we don't have a lot of time left. This has been a blessing for us. And thank you for all the hard work. What I was trying to say a while ago was I know how much goes into a week like this, and I thank you for that, and I know you have much work to do up ahead, but that's what you're a church. That's why you're a church. That's what it's all about. Acts chapter 21. Let me just give you a verse, and let me tell you why then, and then we'll be dismissed. And thank you for being a church family to us. We just love y'all to death. There are so many wonderful memories, and you are family, and we pray for you much, and we thank God for you always. Acts 21:22 says, you know, Paul had I just gave you the wrong one. I gave you Acts. I don't want that. I want I knew I copied it down wrong because I had to. I was doing something different, and so you'll have to wait. Just hang on for a second. Give me a minute. I'll just give it to you this way. The Bible says that we are to follow the Lord. But at the very end of his ministry on the earth, he had asked Peter, he said to Peter, and that's John 21:22. I said Acts, but it's John 21:22. He had asked Peter about, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, do you love me? Yeah. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. You know, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then Peter got it. Peter changed. He'd gone away and he'd come back. And he said, after that, this spake he signifying what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Peter, turning about, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following. He also leaned his breast on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And that was John. And Peter saw him, John, there. And he said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now, you got to understand Peter. Peter always, if you look in the scripture, in the Gospels, you'll see, and Peter answered. And you look right above it, and he wasn't asked a question. You know people like that. You're maybe like that, all right? You kind of jump right in there, all right? Peter was always jumping right in there. And so Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, if, remember that. What's that to thee? Follow me. I want you to mark down or just remember, what is that to you? What is that to thee? Are you following Jesus? I want you to mark down under this, patience. Patience is very hard. You know, everybody jokes about it and says, you know, I don't want to pray for patience because God's going to send me tribulation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, patience is the opposite of impatient. And being impatient is wanting results too soon. You want things, you want results, you want situations to resolve themselves, and you want it now. And you almost demand it now, okay? Patience, however, is linked to, and I'm kind of jumping quickly into it because we just have a short amount of time now. Follow me quickly. Patience is linked to kindness, moderation, trust, stability, strength, contentment, peaceful, hello? Patience. But then go to impatience. Go to someone being impatient. What do you got? Fretting, worry, excessive, unstable, discontent, even violent when you don't get your way. Being impatient. Listen to me. Patience gets things done. Many people jump to impatience because they think they gotta jump in and get it done. They gotta jump in and get it done. They gotta jump in and get it done. And many times they break it. Don't rush the cycle. How many times have you heard that? Let the washing machine complete the cycle. You open it up and take it out too soon. What happens? It's a mess. All right? So we allow God, when we're patient, we're allowing God to be God in our lives and others' lives. Let me say it again. Patience is we're allowing God to be our God, the God of my life. I'm allowing that. I'm yielding to that. I'm recognizing that's the best. Not my way, but His will be done. And I'm allowing God to be God in your life. Sometimes I want to, you know, fix the kids when they're grown up a little bit more than I need to be involved. Sometimes I want to fix you a little bit more than I need to be involved. Sometimes you're not there yet. I'm not there yet. Listen, God knows what He's doing. Do you? Really? God knows what He's doing every single time. I kind of shoot in the dark sometimes. Hello? So I get impatient. You don't, I'm sure, because you're just, you know, right there. Or maybe one of you in here gets impatient every once in a while. And you jump the gun. You say some things you shouldn't say. You push some buttons you shouldn't push. You go to some places you shouldn't go to. You do some things you never should have done. But impatience. Patience sees and partakes in goodness, results, and fruit that others miss. And they just can't figure out why. What is that to you? What is that to thee? You're talking about John. I just got through talking to you, and now you're over there looking at John. What is that to you? Follow thou me. You're the one that went off and went fishing. I'm talking to you. Talking to you. Right? What is that to you? Follow thou me. There's a sadness attached to impatience. There's a loss of harvest, a loss of fruit that is ripe and should be picked. Children that are good, marriages that last, churches that continue in stability and leading to joy. You see moving water, and that's instability. Unstable water, that's the person that doesn't have patience. Can't stand upright. Always off balance and always pushing everything else and everyone else to be off balance also. Be patient. Be patient. How many times have you sung it? Don't be in such a hurry. Patience. Patience is waiting patiently for the Lord. We don't have time to finish it all out right now. But patience is what we are to have in James 5, 7, unto the coming of the Lord. Listen, the reason we go soul winning, why do we go soul winning? Because Jesus is coming back. That's why. And so he's not here yet. So we patiently, what does Rescue the Perishing say in there? Patiently win them. Patiently win them. If we'll do that, if we'll patiently win them, James 5, 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So every day we get up and we wait for the Lord to come. In between that time, we're obedient because we are patient. We're not rushing the Lord to come back. We're not telling, oh, I wish the Lord would come back today. I'll tell you what, then I won't have any more problems and then I won't have any more situation. Listen, I think Paul wanted Jesus to come back. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, the Apostle John said. And I think they wanted Jesus to come back. And Paul said, I'm caught betwixt two. I want to go to heaven and be with the Lord, but I want to stay here and be a blessing to you if that's what the Lord wants. But I really want to go to be with him, but he wanted to be with Jesus because he loved him. We want to go to Jesus because we want to get out of paying our bills. We want to get out of pressure. We want to get out of problems. Boy, that's real love. You know, that's like marrying somebody because they got a lot of money and you fell in love with their money instead of them. And you say, man, I can't wait to get married to you, honey, because you got $1 million in the bank and I'm $100,000 in debt. Wow, I really love you, babe. Huh? And so the Lord's there, and he's done it all. He sacrificed it all. He bled, he died, he was butchered. And we say, oh, Lord, come quickly, because, man, I'm in trouble. Take me out of the trouble. Listen, patience. The Lord's going to probably keep you here for a long time then and take you through a lot of things. Why? Because he's on your side. He knows how you're going to get to contentment. He knows how you're going to get to peace and joy and harmony. He knows how you're going to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, little by little, until you finally are actually not just kind of following him like this. I'm heading his way. Here I go. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. Or like this. Right up with him. I'm there, Lord Jesus. Took me a while to get here, but now I'm walking with you. I'm talking with you. I'm moving with you. I'm not just here and there and up and down and back and forth. Patience. I wish I could give you the whole thing, but we're going to have to dismiss here in a minute. To be impatient means you're like the murmurers of old in Israel. They left Israel. They saw one of the greatest scenes. If there's one scene in the Old Testament I really would like to have been at, it's the Red Sea. Just crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, and then you look back and you see the enemies of Israel dead on the seashore, and then they all jump up and down and sing Moses' song. Woo! Man, what a revival. What a moment. And then right after that, you heard the murmurer start. What shall we drink? What shall we eat? It better be back over there and have some onions and leeks and stuff than out here in the desert. What about the Red Sea? Yeah, but what shall we eat? There's no McDonald's out here. Murmurs. Why do I use that voice? Because that's how murmurs sound. When you murmur. They sound horrible. They're whiners, right? What would they be whining about? Naaman was trying to jump the gun till servant reminded him. Well, I thought the great prophet of God would come down and wave his magic wand or something. Or I thought the great rivers of Egypt are better than this little thing. Down and dip down in the Jordan River 7 times. It's been 3 or 4 times already and nothing's happening. Just do it. Just do it. Just be patient and go all the way through. God's got something over there for you, and you want to see it, and that's not faith. So get rid of that sight thing and live by faith. Trust Him. You said without seeing Him that you believed Him with all your heart, and you confessed in the mouth of the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Were you there? No, but you trust. By the way, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we go all the way through. And then He came up clean, didn't He? Came up pure. Came up cleansed. Came up whole. Jonah jumped the gun, didn't he? Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah wanted to do it his way. Jonah wanted to thwart God's will. He got impatient. Well, I'm not just talking about getting swallowed by the whale. I'm talking about after. After he preached in Nineveh, Nineveh got saved, and Jonah didn't want them saved. Jonah wanted them dead. They were horrible, horrible folks. They would capture people and put fish hooks in their breasts and chain them together to march them back to their lands. They were just torturous, abominable people. And Jonah wanted revenge. And he said, I know you. You'll have me go in there, and they'll get saved. And they did, from the king all the way down. And so he was pouting, impatient. Oh, God, I wish you'd just send judgment on everybody. Well, if he sends judgment on everybody, that's you too. The disciples were always jumping the gun. James and John were called the sons of thunder. And then there's the classic Martha thing. Martha was a good woman. She was a blessing and got to be a blessing many, many times. And she was a blessing to Jesus. But that one time when Mary was sitting at her feet and Martha said, Lord, bid her therefore that she help me. You know, she was cumbered about, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things. She was cumbered about much about her serving. She wanted everything just right. But Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You got two ways to go from this point on. You've got patience or impatient. Oh, man, I'm going to walk out of here and fiesta's over with, and I got all this stuff I got to do, and it's all piled up at home, and we got to run around and be chickens with a head cut off, or we got to do this, we got to do that. Look, there are certain things we do have to do. We have to be good Christians. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be an evangelist, but you got to be a good Christian. And a good Christian just says, hey, I'm not overly worried about how everything's going to work out there. This one thing I do, Paul said, I forget those things which are behind that are plaguing me, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I follow Jesus. How would Jesus interact with this person? How would Jesus, if this thing hit Jesus in the face, how would he react? With patience, with kindness, with compassion, with honesty, with stability. He's not unstable. He doesn't move with the winds and the water. He is Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Can you say like Paul, for to me to live is Christ, to die, gain, not worried about anything. Everything's all right in my Father's house. So everything's all right in my heart. And when it's all right in your heart, it transfers to your whole body. It's a heart problem. Patience. Do you have it? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear God, we are called your people. People of the book, people of the cross, people of the risen Savior, people called Christians, Christ-like people. May we exhibit the patience of Jesus Christ, who endured the suffering, despised the shame, and endured that cross and sat down at the right hand of God the Father.